Senator Payman, thanks for joining SBS.
Thank you for having me, Anna.
When it comes to what's unfolded over the last week, what do you say to those who are now asserting and backgrounding that this was a premeditated strategy for you to do maximum damage to Labor?
It's absolutely false. That it has no basis of truth to it. I have not been planning this, as it was quoted during QT yesterday, over a month. This all came about after I crossed the floor last week on Tuesday as part of a conscience vote for myself on recognising a Palestinian state.
Some of the groups who've been advocating for you and supporting you include Muslim Votes Matter, and they have said that they think Labor needs to be punished for its position on the conflict in the Middle East. Do you agree that Labor does need to see some electoral punishment for the position it's taken?
Look, people on the ground are angry, and this sentiment has reverberated through electorates, through communities, not just unique to the Muslim community. What Muslim Vote Matters or the Muslim Vote choose to do and choose to, campaign on, that's up to them. I have no affiliation with them. I have met with them on one occasion, just like I have met with many communities who are wanting to find ways of educating the community on their democratic rights and political literacy, which I think is incredible for our democracy.
When you originally said you wanted to try and make change from inside Labor, you've now decided to quit Labor. So how do you make change from the outside to put pressure on the issues you say you feel so strongly about then? Is it through encouraging people to vote against Labor at the next election if they don't like that policy?
Look, I haven't thought about advocating or going out there and saying you must vote this way or that way. That's up to people and that's their prerogative when they go to the ballot boxes. But what this allows me to do is not put pressure on me to toe a particular line where my principles do not align with and where I feel that I'm controlled or limited in the amount that I can say about a topic that is important to not just me, but my constituents, the communities I represent, and a lot of people that have reached out to me do hope that their elected members represent their voices here in Canberra.
Your colleagues say they've been reaching out to you, they've been trying to get in contact with you, very senior members of the front bench. Why haven't you been taking their calls and texts?
I have been taking calls and text messages, but there comes a point where it does not feel as genuine, and there have been senior leadership ministers, perhaps, I would say, or leadership members who have who've sent me a text message, but then, out in the community claim to have a conversation with me, and I don't think a text constitutes a conversation, and it's a bit disingenuous. And like I said, the pseudo-empathy really comes out, and I don't need anyone's pity. I'm not a vulnerable young, I am young, but I'm not vulnerable and definitely don't need to be told what to do and how to think.
You claim you've been intimidated by Labor. Can you explain what were the actions and who took them to intimidate you?
I'm not going to character assassinate people here and call them out, but there have been multiple instances where I have been made to feel, that there's been condescending remarks, or there has been instances of invading my space, being very controlling and nosy and constantly prodding, what are you going to do, where are you going to do, what's your next plan? And making statements such as, you've betrayed the caucus, and I didn't, for me, following my principles, I did not think that I'd be betraying the caucus who actually rely on the platform, because that's what I was looking at in representing the constituents and rank and file members. So there's been just an accumulation. But in saying that, there's been an overwhelming amount of support externally from the Canberra bubble that I've experienced and received. And there were select few members within my caucus who'd reached out and were genuinely concerned for my welfare.
Did the pressure that was applied to you ever reach the level of bullying?
I wouldn't constitute it as bullying, but it definitely made me feel like I didn't belong, made me feel like there was no return for me in the Labor Party, even though everyone claimed that the doors open and I should just come back to the tent. This was a red line that I had to draw, and, you know, if we can't be true to our party platform, then what are we really here for?
Let's talk about the way this is being characterised over the past 24 hours. The opposition leader is now making references to Muslim independence. How do you feel about that, alongside the backgrounding from people within your own former party of Labor talking about you saying you've been guided by God, and that you would answer to a higher authority for your actions?
It's quite patronising and condescending to be stereotyped in a particular way because of my external appearances, and it definitely has no truth to it, essentially, where I represent the people of Western Australia. I always have. That's been my priority, and I know that West Australians come from all forms of backgrounds, religions, identities, belief systems, and opinions, and I think everyone has their right to be able to express that. It's just bizarre that people are backgrounding things that are not true.
Do you intend to be guided by your Islamic faith on other decisions within the parliament?
So when I made this decision, it was on my conscience, and yes, I was praying to God for guidance, but I pray to God every day. I pray to him 5 times a day, and for me, that's an important part of who I am in my private life as a Muslim. That does not get imposed on my constituents who I represent, because I know that not all of them believe in the same God as I do. But at the same time, that dictates my moral compass, and I don't intend to impose those views on anyone else.
Do you have concerns about the way you were treated by the Prime Minister in that meeting at the Lodge last weekend?
Look, it's always tough going in and, you know, getting a telling off by your boss. So it felt to me, you know, it was a bit scary. But nonetheless, I wouldn't characterise it as intimidation. It was a stern conversation. But, you know, he's the Prime Minister. He's got all the right to, you know, call me in and have a conversation.
Very briefly, if you'd had a chance for a conscience vote, if Labor had allowed that, would this issue have been solved? And do you think the solidarity rule needs to be reconsidered?
I think as representing modern day Australia, we do, as a party that reflects or wants to reflect the diversity of constituencies that we represent, we need to have room for dissenting voices and a conscience vote on matters like this, which is not necessarily legislation, which I understand requires that, you know, solidarity and towing party line when it comes to that.
Would you encourage another woman of colour, young woman, to enter the parliament and represent the Labor Party right now?
It's up to people with their views on what aligns with their values and their principles. For me, this was a parting moment, and I had to do it in good faith, understanding that this was a piece of closure that both we needed to end the saga that's been going on, but also I needed to be true to my values and principles, and moving forward to pledge, you know, that my voice will be only used to represent West Australians and their interests.
If that person asked you for advice, what would you say?
I'd say do what's best for you, because I don't know what your principles, values and boundaries are. For me, they were clear boundaries.
We'll leave it there. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Anna.